Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Hello, everybody. It's turned on, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's amazing how attack comes when you're going to do something for God. Like was said earlier, had a little electronical problem last night and something wasn't charged that was supposed to be this morning. And then seemed to have a flat tire on the way to church this morning. So anyway. So I want to start by, you know, just saying it's amazing how God can sometimes be talking to us in like separately, but about the same thing. And like today, I want to speak about seasons. You know, sometimes I try and wait on God to get a word, to get something to preach about, and often it doesn't come straight away. And so you're sort of thinking, oh, it's getting closer. Come on, Lord, give me something, you know. And something always happens, even if it is only a couple of days before. But the main thing is that, you know, that we're hearing from God, that we're listening to God in our ministries and what we're doing. And Keith got up last week and he spoke about, he actually said, I've written it here somewhere, how God does do things differently. You know, God does things differently. He doesn't always do them the same. And that's exactly something that God's been talking to me about recently. And then Di got up and she spoke about how we need to serve God in every season. And once again, that's something that God's been speaking to me about. And so that's awesome. You know, it's awesome that God does that, that if you listen, you can get something from God in whatever ministry you're in, whatever you're doing for God, that and it can be confirmed by things like that. It'll be in season. It'll be something that's happening. So this morning I want to speak about seasons. I love that slogan that was said this morning was God doesn't call the qualified, but qualifies the called. It's funny, isn't it, how we get little slogans like that. I've got a heap of them. You know, I used to always, to do with today a bit, it was that it's not necessarily about what we can do for God, but what God can do in us. And it's a kind of a bit on what today's about. So basically, I want to speak about seasons. And so I want to start from a well-known scripture here, one that we all have heard 1,000 times, but it's great to hear. We've got to just keep hearing them, don't we? We get something new every time we hear a different scripture. You know, I remember as a kid I learned John 3:16. I had to say it as part of this Baptist thing I went to and remember it and say it. And yet a little while ago, 35 years later, I heard the scripture and got a whole different thing out of that scripture that I'd heard, that I'd actually recited as a young 10-year-old kid. You know what I mean? So that's an awesome thing about God's scripture. The more we hear it, every time God can say something different through it, right? As long as it's in season. A scripture in season is a great scripture. So Ecclesiastes 3:1 verse 8 says this. It says, "There is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight, an event or purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing." Time to refrain from embracing, that's a funny one. "A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." Right? And so things aren't always the same, So often we go through different seasons, we go through different times in our lives. And, you know, when I first felt to speak about seasons, I looked it up and I did a little bit of study about it, and I thought I'd maybe find 3 or 4 verses about it. And I was surprised that there was about 30-odd verses about seasons. And that says to me that seasons are a reality. They really are. They really are something that we go through. We go through different times. You know, we've all had those days where you get up in the morning and just everything goes wrong all day. And it doesn't matter. It's like it's just set into place. It's like you've got to go back to bed again and get up, or because it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to go wrong, right? And that can be really annoying. And sometimes everything we touch turns to gold. Sometimes it's just great. Everything's going fine. And a season can last a day, but often a season can last a long time. It can last months. It can last years. And that can be difficult in those times. You know, I remember I went through a time once where just everything was going wrong in my life. Everything, it got so bad that I was sort of almost brought to my knees. Like I just didn't know what to do. Like it got that bad, and so I just released it to God completely, gave it to God in every way, and I just said, right, God, you're going to get me out of this time. You're going to get me through this, and it was just caused me to just go through really speaking in tongues heaps. Like all of a sudden, I was just speaking in tongues all the time. And things picked up, things changed, and that season changed. And the thing is that you know, it's God that changes seasons. God can change seasons. When we stick with God, when we give it to Him, God can change seasons. It's almost like seasons are a part of building. You know, when I first became a Christian, I wanted to jump straight to here. But as it worked out, there was all these other things in my life that had to be fixed up and put into place. God wanted to work on my relationships, on so many other little bits and pieces of my life. God wasn't interested in here. Well, not at this time. He was interested in all these other things. And so God sometimes will give us seasons in our lives, and which is about us building and growing through that time. And as we give it to God, as we push through and keep with Him through that season, even though we don't understand it, we don't understand why we're going through it, then we grow, we build. We're like a plant that grows leaves in the spring. You know, we shoot new plants, we become stronger. And God uses seasons that way. When my mother passed away, it was a bit like that. I pushed through and I just kept to God, even though I didn't understand it, and gave it to Him. And all of a sudden, I had this whole new strength, like new leaves, so you could say, in the spirit. You know, things built up in me, a stronger me, that then made me even stronger than what I was before. And sometimes, you know, we just can't understand the things that happen in the world or why it is. But the point is that God, when we give things to God, when we give it completely to Him, God can change our season. He can bring us through that season. Things may not necessarily change, so to speak, completely, but they'll get easier. A different season can bring a new way of doing it, a building, a growing. And we just keep pressing for a season when all those things will come together. Keep pressing, keep believing. You know, things that worked before don't necessarily work now. You know, we have to do things the way we feel to do them. We can't always, although something works for somebody else, we can't expect that to work for us. You know, in our families and stuff, like a guy I knew and I used to really love and respect, he was a great preacher, he was a guy who gave his life to God completely. And when I was a new Christian, I wanted to be like, I wanted to learn from him. I wanted to do things like him. And I suppose it caused me to strive a little bit. He used to not have a TV in his house. He was just gave everything, all his time to God. But that was not necessarily for me. I wasn't able to, although I wanted to be like that, that's why I wanted to do things. That's not what God had for me to do. And so sometimes when we try and impart things into our family, into our lives that other people are doing just to be like them, or because that's what everybody else is doing, it doesn't necessarily work. It doesn't bear fruit because God's speaking to us all differently. God's doing different things in our lives. You try and take the TV out of your kid's house and it might not necessarily be the right thing. It can cause more harm than good. You know, we can try and lord it over our kids because that's what we think we need to be doing. That's what other people seem to be doing. They got their kids lined up like soldiers, you know, and so we think that's how we need to be. And so we try and get them, but they've got personalities. We're all different. Different things for different people, you know. And what brings it all together is just a heart that loves, a faith, you know. They're the three, that's what, and closeness to God. They're the things that just brings every personality together, all the different things in the world. Like I remember Keith was speaking one time to me about how, you know, we're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to have church ministries. We're called to all different things. We're called to be policemen. We're called to be builders. That's what we're called to do. That's our life. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't despise the blessing of the Lord. What your blessing is what it is, you know. We really need to realise that. Dave, do you mind if I just pray for you quickly? If you come up, I feel like I've got a word for you. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you or nothing, but Lord, I just pray for Dave, Lord God. Lord, I pray for Dave. I pray that you'd give him a strength, Lord God. Give him a strength. Dave, you know, I just feel that God's saying to you that you're capable, you're so capable. There's a strength in you. There's something that he is built in you. And as you step into that, God just wants you to really pray about what it is he wants you to do. Because he wants to meet with you on that and he wants to bring you into that. You are so strong. You have ability. You have an ability to touch people. And God wants to bring you into that ministry. You're a part of something bigger that's going to happen in this church. And he wants you to just draw near to him. And he'll show you what that is and he'll bring you into that. Lord, I just pray you'd bless Dave, Lord, that you give him strength in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so seasons. So just on that a little bit more. So we don't always do things that work for others don't necessarily work for us. We've got to be natural. We've got to be ourselves. That's our strength. Our strength is ourselves. I remember Clark Taylor, the guy who started the Christian Outreach Center. I remember watching a few videos on him. And he was an awesome guy through the 70s. God just blessed him. And it was funny because a lot of other people were trying to do things just like how he was doing them. And they weren't necessarily getting the same results. But I remember one thing that Clark did that always touched me. I loved it. I think it was a bit later on, but he was overseas on a video I was watching and he just went and knocked on people's doors. And he said, look, I'm just having a little meeting out in the park. I'm going to pray for healing. Would you like to come? And people came. Rocked up to the meeting out in the park. He prayed for them, had miracles, had people healed. It was fantastic. And it always got me, you know, you knock on somebody's door and you say, look, I want you to know Jesus. Do you want to know Jesus? Bang, slam doors, slam shut, right? But if you knock on somebody's door and say, look, can I pray for you for healing? You're going to get a different response because there's a lot of people who are sick out there. And so that was a great idea. And so that's something that I guess if it's on your heart, you can try. It takes a bit of confidence, takes a bit of anointing, whatever. But you do it your way. Do it your way, the way you feel to do it. Do it if you feel to do it. If you feel, if it's on your heart, you know, and that's the way we need to move in God. God will bring things in his season. And he'll call you in season. And he'll do things differently. He'll do things differently. We live in a time now where things that didn't work before won't necessarily work now. That's the time. That's the time we're in. Is we're in a funny time. Maybe it was always a funny time. This just seems funny because it's now. But, you know, if things start moving in the things of God, there's going to stir up a good season, a summer, healings, everything else. But it could also stir up a bit of opposition. That's right. And that's what happened in the Bible. That's what happened in the book of Acts, right? You know, at the same time, wonderful, great things were happening. The religious people and all that didn't like it so much. So it was like a mixed season going on. You know, we want a summer. We want revival. 100%. But it can also stir up other things. Seasons change. Psalm 35 says, weeping may endure for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. So let's not die in a winter. Let's not let everything go in a winter. Let's just, even though you don't understand it, just keep pushing on and things will change in the morning. Understanding will come. New shoots will come out. Push through that. It's part of what God wants to do for you. God is doing that in you. Why? Because if you only believe when everything goes your way or when everything makes sense, you know, look, I don't know why certain things happen. Nobody knows. Nobody knows why certain things happen. But just push through it and you'll grow new strength. You'll see new things. It's a bit like Joseph, you know. Joseph, in the Bible, he had the dream from Pharaoh that he had to interpret. And so he saw that there was going to be 7 good years and then 7 bad years. And so he knew he had to store all the grain in the 7 good years, so then it'd be there for the 7 bad years. And it's like what Ian was speaking about last week, and that is, you know, remembering. And I know we said it, and it's like in a good time, store that grain away. It's like spiritual fuel. Remember it. Remember those good times, because in a 7 years of bad, in a bad time, you need to draw from that. You need to remind yourself of that. You need to build off that and strengthen through that, right? The truth is that God is the only formula. We connect with God and we wait on him. Daniel 2:21 says, he changes the times and the seasons. You know, it's God who makes things happen. It's God who makes things happen. If I look back on the past of my life, every single thing I've done that's worthwhile happened through God. Everything. I don't know, it maybe be harder for somebody to see that in a way who would suppose have maybe been a great sportsman who came to God later. Maybe they'd have a harder time getting that. But then I guess I realised that all that came from God. You know, all our talents come from God. Everything we've got comes from God. We give it back to God. I'm lucky enough to know in my life, God showed me for whatever reasons that everything I have came from him. That if I was to leave God, I know that I would go downhill very quick. Because everything I've got that's good has come from God. And so God has established that within me. And that's a great thing. That's a good thing for me. But everything that matters, everything that will make a difference in your life, everything that will make a difference in your kids' lives, and everything in everyone's life will come from God. Everything. And so we just need to do the things that God's asked of us. Just need to do the things that God's asked of us. Keep it simple. It's simple. Just live. You got the Holy Spirit. Just live. Just live. You know, freedom means you don't have to strive. We don't have to strive. And what I found is that it works better when it's natural. It's works so much better when it's natural. When things happen naturally, they're more powerful. And things happen naturally when you're not trying. You're not trying. It's just happening. Keep it simple. Just walk in love, faith, close to God. Love, faith, close to God. That's it. That's the simplicity. Everything else will work off the back of that. You know, as some of you know, I homeschool. We homeschool my son, and quite often, you know, it's like you have to spend a lot of time on reading, and then everything else works off the back of reading. And if the reading isn't strong, if the spelling and the everything else comes from the reading, if the reading's not strong, there's no point in learning about all these other things up here, because it's got to be built on that foundation of reading. Or with maths, with arithmetic. And in the same way, everything we do in God has to be built on the back of love and faith and closeness to God. And when we try and strive and we try and push onto these other more complicated things, sometimes we forget those three things. And we become useless. Because they're the things that people notice. They're the things that make a difference. They're the things that help us to connect. We don't want to get sidetracked with the heavy stuff, you know. Jesus took the burden. Jesus took the burden. Matthew 11:28 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus took the burden of life. You know, I've struggled with burden. I've struggled so much with it. There were times where, when I first became a Christian, I just felt like I had to make everything right. I had to be a perfect man. I want to be like my pastors. I wanted to have everything perfect and all lined up correctly. And it made me angry in a way. It separated me from people I loved, because I sort of felt, well, I can't hang out with those people. I can't be near those people because they're not Christians. And as a result, did I help them? Did I get them saved? No, nothing of the sort. I just became... You know, I had these years that I missed out on, which I could have been there, you know. And that's the thing. See, making things complicated doesn't help. Keep it simple. That's what Christianity is. That's how we're going to reach people we love. That's how we become attractive to people, is by keeping it simple. Keeping it simple. 1 Thessalonians 4:9-12 says this. It says, if you want to turn there quickly, that's 1 Thessalonians 4:9. "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you have been taught by God to love one another. That is to have an unselfish concern for others and to do things for their benefit. For indeed you already do practice it towards all the believers throughout Macedonia, by actively displaying your love and concern for them. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, that you excel in this matter more and more, and that you make it your ambition to live quietly and peacefully, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, just as we directed you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders, exhibiting good character, personal integrity, moral courage, worthy of respect of the outside world. And be dependent on no one, in need of nothing." And so it's almost like an oxymoron, I think you'd call it, isn't it? It's where it's saying, we urge you to strive to do less. You know? You see, we just need to be an example of the love of God. God's interested in what's happening in our hearts. And when we work with our hands, when we mind our own business, when we go about our affairs in peace and in a natural way, just walking through love and faith and keeping close to God, that's when things happen. That's when things happen. That's the key. That's it. It's a simple message. It's a simple message you can pass to others. You don't have to say, oh, look, you've got to straighten your life up. You've got to take that off, get rid of that, pull that out of your ear. You know, it's not just, you know, just, hey, Jesus loves you. Love. That's it. That's the message, you know. The church belongs to everybody. God belongs to everybody, not just the people in the church. He's not ours. We don't own him. Belongs to every single person. We need to keep it simple. Let's not make the bar harder than it needs to be. When you walk in love, you walk in faith, you keep close to God. If you're doing that properly, you'll be a great person. I'll tell you that right now. Your things will line up. Your life will line up. You'll be that person you want to be. Just by those three things, you'll become the person you want to be in life. Jesus has taken the burden. Just need to focus on the little things, right? Okay, a season of revival. Season of revival. Now, revivalism can be explained like this. Revivalism is an increased spiritual interest or renewal in the life of the church, congregation, or society with a local, national, or global effect. It's amazing, isn't it? With a local, national, or global effect. Revivals affect the lost. They affect the government. They affect everything. It's almost like a restoration of how things should be. That's what it is. Revival restores things to the way they should be. You see, quite often, something good happens. Say, an example that just comes to mind, say, Clark Taylor through the 70s, whatever, just God at that time was doing things, right? New churches start up, full of the Spirit. They're great. I remember going to a church when I was probably early 80s of a friend of mine, and it was just awesome. As a kid, I mean, check this out. This is awesome. It was just full of life. It was great. And then slowly in time, religion sets in. It's just a natural thing. It just does it. It's just how, for some weird reason, it just happens. The things of God start to become more contained within the walls of the church. It becomes its own little entity. Even though it might meet with other ones, it cut the world's here and the church is here. There's a separation. And then it almost comes to a time where revival's needed. The Spirit of God has to come back and spark things off and get everything back to where it should be. You know, in looking at some revivals that I've looked at, there was one main thing that was common with them all, and that was a coming to a closeness with God, a coming back to a closeness of God. That seems to be the main thing that happened with revival within the people involved or what God was doing. It was bringing people back. Now, people don't have to come back if they're already there. So it's like he comes in a time where people have scattered a bit and then draws them back with a bang, draws back things the way they should be, restoration to the way things should be. The awakening, and as we got the awakening in Melbourne this weekend, it was interesting that God was speaking to me about that. But I looked it up, and in America there were four main awakenings starting from the 1700s. And it was a time where just massive amounts of people lost, not saved, lost, came to God. It reached out into the community. The community was touched. Eyes were opened. That's what happened. And it says here, the awakenings all resulted from powerful preaching that gave listeners a sense of personal guilt and of their need of salvation by Christ. That was perfect for that time, for that season. That was the perfect thing. People had drifted away. They're not going to feel guilty if they're doing everything correctly. They're not going to... It was a time where people in the church just felt a strong... It's like religion had set in. And their eyes were open to that fact that they'd become religious. And so they got on their hands and knees before God. It wasn't a striving to get out, and as much it was more of an inward thing that God was doing within the people, because God does it. It's God that makes things happen, not us. our plans, our ways. They're not going to change things. God brought the people to their knees and just set a fire. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God moved and things happened in God's way, the way God wanted them to happen. And we still need to do things. The same rules apply in every season. Okay, if you're in a winter and it's tough, you got to push in a bit harder. Love, faith, keep close to God, push in. But if you're in a summer, it's almost like the cruise control. It speeds up as you go up the mountain, and then it puts the brakes on when you're going down, because you don't want to get ahead of yourself. The same things still apply. If revival's sparked up here tomorrow and all these awesome things are happening, Thursday night someone's been healed at the church, do you mind if I just pray for you quickly? Lord, Lord, I just pray for strength, Lord God, strength with this family, Lord. Lord, I pray that your spirit, Lord God, would move upon this family, Lord God, upon this whole family, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that you'd bring restoration and strength into this family, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you'd make their life easier, that you'd bring them love, the spirit of love, I pray upon them, the spirit of peace. I rebuke anything that hinders this beautiful boy. I rebuke it. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you. I bind you and I break you off in Jesus' name. I command you to go, 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 go. And Lord, I just pray for peace. Peace upon his mind. Peace upon his life. Use him in strength. Powerfully. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for this family, Lord God, that you just give them peace. I just pray you'd bless this family, Lord, with your spirit. Thank you, Lord. All right, where was I? So if healing broke up out here last, if things started going great, all these awesome things are happening in the church, it's still the same. You don't need to change what you're doing. Love, faith, close to God. You might not be able to make it. You might have something else on. You don't have to, everything, the same rules apply, you know. You read in the Bible how God brought judgment. God brought judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. Is that the right way to pronounce it? God brought that judgment. Man didn't bring the judgment. Okay, so as an example, it doesn't mean all of a sudden we need to start judging people heavier who didn't rock up to church or aren't involved, you know. Revival, times of revival can cause us to think this way. You know, we could, you know, just basically things don't change. The same rules apply. You know, in learning about emotional intelligence, when I had to do a little bit of study upon it, they actually said that in a time of sadness, you pick up more. You can be better to talk to. You pick up detail better. And in a time of happiness, you can actually overlook things. You can actually overlook things. You can get ahead of yourself. And so, even when things are going great, the same rules apply. Same things apply. You know, in the book of Acts was the first revival. It was a great revival. It's a revival that we still live off now. We read it. We build strength off that revival. It was a revival where there was such confidence in the people, where they were just able to walk up to people and say, get up and walk. They were just confident. They knew that it would work. It was awesome. It was fantastic, you know. You know, I remember Brett and Rosie when they went away and they went overseas, and while they were there, they saw, must have gone, pretty sure I didn't know the exact story, but they saw a lot of people healed, and they saw all these wonderful things happen. God was just moving in strength over there, and then they came back here, and I just wanted to get my boy up and get him prayed for straight away, because they were just full of faith. They were like, they were rocking in the faith, you know, and that was awesome, you know. Revival can bring a time, and it's where we realize what really matters in life. We come to our senses and we realize, hey, all those little things we thought mattered don't matter. They don't matter. I mean, the apostles were selling their everything they own and putting them all into the one thing, because what matters to us most in the world? Our worldly things that we own, our money, that's what matters to us most in this world. They were putting that all together. Does that mean that's what we should do in revival? No, it doesn't. It's whatever God does with us at that time. Who knows? He might move us to do that. Who knows? But the thing is that it's God that makes things happen. It's God that brings things into being. And so that was an awesome time. It was, the time where the apostles were in prison and they got released from prison and they just stood in the yard. They didn't even try and get away. And so that's restoration. That's restoration. That's where we should be. And I don't blame everybody for not being in that place. Of course, our faith, it's a fact. No one has faith as strong as what we would if we were in a time of revival. I mean, but we've got to keep faithful in every season. We have to keep faithful in every season. We keep praying. We keep praying for the sick and we believe for them. We keep moving in faith. We keep aiming to be in that spot where we're supposed to be. In a winter, we just got to press harder. In a summer, we might have to slow ourselves down, but we just got to press harder, faithful in every season. In the dictionary, faithfulness, fidelity, loyalty, constancy, devotion, trueness, true-heartedness, dedication, commitment, allegiance, commitment. We just got to keep committed to God. Constancy, loyalty. He's been there for us before, even though we don't understand this. It's going to pay off if we're loyal. We need to be the same in every season. Keep it simple. You know, all people are different. I don't know what season we're going through in our lives at the moment, what personal season. You know, it could be a busy season. It could be whatever season it is, the chances are the person next to you is going through a completely different season. You know, I know for me it's a busy season. You know, thinking the other day, I love the guy over the road. I used to go and hang out with him a bit, have a coffee with him and that, an older guy. I just don't seem to have the time. My brother lives around the corner. So often I'd like to go and spend more time with him. It just doesn't seem to line up. It's just, you know, the season we're in is the season we're in. We just need to deal with it. And hopefully, as we stick with God, things will change. Things will get better. And if they're already good, well, that's great. They'll keep getting better, right? Okay, so in conclusion, I just want to conclude by saying this. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know, Sometimes we just say to our kids, they say, why? We just say, because I said. Even if we try and explain it to them, they're not going to get it. So we can explain, because of this. Look, man, look, this is what this is and that's that. And, you know. And sometimes it's the same with God. Why, God? Why? Just because I said. Because one day you'll understand. One day you'll get it. And it'll make sense. So it's just got to be a trust God regardless attitude to keep us going forward. Let's just walk in love, faith. Keep close to God. Keep it simple in whatever season. And you'll see your natural self will come out. Your natural self will shine. Your natural self is what God's interested in. And that's what's going to change people. That's going to change everything. Don't get complicated. Christianity belongs to everyone, every person. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.